Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We find ourselves at the bottom of 19a. That's Daf Yud Tet Amud Aleph. We're all the way at the bottom, three lines up, at the end of the third line from the bottom. We've been discussing a number of aspects of the writing of the Megillah. So here we have a new topic. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Hakore b'Megillah haktuva bein haktuvim lo yatsa. One who reads in a Megillah that is written among all the other writings does not fulfill his obligation. Now, in order to understand this, you have to realize that the Megillah of Esther is part of the section of Tanakh that's called Ketuvim. And including in Ketuvim are all the other Megillahs, as well as the Book of Tehillim and Iyov and Mishle, the Book of Chronicles, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and a number of other books. So often they might write all of the Ketuvim together in one scroll. They might put them all together in one scroll, and then you would have the scroll. And just like we would have a book that has all of Tanakh in it, Esther would just be one of them. What this says is that when you're reading from a scroll of Esther, it must be a unique scroll. It has to be a separate scroll that is just the Megillah of Esther. And the reason for this is to distinguish it, to give it a sense of pirsumei nisa, to publicize the miracle. It shouldn't just be sandwiched among a bunch of other stories and books. It should be alone and unique. Amar Rava, Rava says, and he's limiting the case, Lo amran ella delo mechasra umiyatra porta. They only said this as long as it looked exactly the same as the others. So if it was delo mechasra, it wasn't a little shorter, umiyatra, or a little longer. Porta means a little bit. So as Rashi says, if the parchment for the scroll of Esther, even if it was included together with the other books, but if the parchment was a little longer or stood out in some other way so that it was obvious that was, that it had a certain sense of obviousness that was the Megillah, then it would be okay. Aval mechaser umiyatra porta, if it's a little shorter or a little longer, leit lamba, then it's no problem. Levi bar Shmuel hava kakare kame de Rav Yehuda b'Megillah. Levi, the son of Shmuel, was once reading in front of Rav Yehuda in a Megillah. And this Megillah, we flip the page, we're now at the top of Yud Tet Amud Bet. This Megillah was haktuva bein haktuvim. It was included in a scroll that had a number of other books in it. Amar lei, so he said to him, Hare Amru, didn't they said, the sages said, Hakore b'Megillah haktuva bein haktuvim lo yatsa. One who reads from a Megillah like that, that's written among the other books, does not fulfill his obligation. So it seems like that was actually the way they paskin, meaning that story says that when Rabbi Yehuda saw that someone was reading in that kind of Megillah, he stopped him. However, we have this next teaching which modifies that. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And this begins a series of four teachings that are in the name of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. This is the first one. Hakore b'Megillah haktuva ben haktuvim lo yatsa. One who reads in a Megillah that's included among all the other writings does not fulfill his obligation, which is what we said already. But here we're going to add a change to it. And when he says umachula mocha, he smacked himself on the head. Meaning, after he taught this teaching, he smacked himself on the head because he realized that the teaching could lead you to have the wrong conclusion. He said, "Oh, but sibur shanum." That's only if you want to use this Megillah for reading in public. But if you're reading it on your own, if you are reading the Megillah to fulfill your obligation on Purim, but you're just reading it to yourself or not in a minyan, then you can do it. However, if you're reading in a public setting, then you have to have a Megillah that is not written among the other writings. Okay, the second teaching, the Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shi'ur hatfar halacha l'Moshe misinai. The amount of the stitching that has to be done in a Torah scroll is a halacha, it's a law passed down in the oral tradition from Moshe at Sinai. Umachula amocha, after he taught this teaching, he smacked himself on the head, and he said, oh, velo amru ela kidei shelo yikareya. They only said it so that the Torah scrolls shouldn't come to be ripped. So even though there is a firm, we were saying that there's a firm halacha l'moshe, exactly how many stitches you need to have in the Torah, but as Rashi points out, if by adding more stitches, you will more likely cause the Torah scroll to rip, then you wouldn't add them, because the point of the halacha is so that the Torah scroll shouldn't rip. So you don't want to, undo the point of it by trying to observe the details. Don't want to miss the forest for the trees. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. This is the third teaching. And as you see, these are not really related to Purim anymore. They're collected together because they are by the same teacher. Ilmale nishtayer ba me'ara she'amad ba Moshe. So this needs a little bit of an introduction. The first line says, had there been in the cave where Moshe was, the Eliyahu, and the cave where Eliyahu was, kimilo nekev machat sidkit, like the eye of a needle, lo hayul yicholim la'amod mipnei ha'ara, they would not have been able to withstand it because of the intensity of the light. Shenemar, as it says, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. It says, no man can see me and live. In other words, they would have died. So the story here is a famous story of Moshe, where Moshe requests from Hashem to see him. He says, Hareini na kvodecha, show me your kavod, like, so to speak, your essence. And Hashem doesn't really agree to do that because, as we learn, no man can see Hashem. However, what he does do is it says, Visakoti et kapi, he puts his hand over his eyes, and he passes before him, and then he takes his hand away as he passes so that Moshe is able to see, so to speak, kaviyachol, the back of Hashem as he passes by. So the understanding of the Gemara here is that it's not exactly like Hashem put his hand on him, but that he was in a cave, and the cave was closed. So he could sense Hashem passing by, but he couldn't see him. And then I suppose the cave was opened up in some way at the end so that he could see the back of Hashem, or the results of Hashem's passing. And we have a tradition that it was not only Moshe who was in this cave, but that hundreds of years later, Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, was in that same cave. After Elijah the prophet fought the prophets of Baal and called down lightning from the sky and proved that Hashem was the true God, even after all of that, nothing changed, and they were going to kill him, and Ahav and Jezebel were still the king and queen, and they were still a wicked king and queen. So he did the best he could, and Eliyahu basically wanted to die. He said, I did the best I could for Hashem, kano keneti l'Hashem, I acted as zealously as I could, and now I failed. So Hashem also passes by Eliyahu at that time. First there's a giant fire, and then a giant sound, and then a giant wind, and finally a kol d'mamadaka, a very small, still voice in which Hashem is. So it doesn't say specifically in the book there that Eliyahu was in a cave, but the rabbinic tradition is that Eliyahu was in the same cave as Moshe. And according to this Gemara, they were in a cave that was closed up so that they could sense Hashem passing by but not see it. So what the Gemara here says is, had there even been a tiny little chink in that cave, even a little opening like the eye of a needle, the light that of Hashem, Hashem's radiance as he passed by, would have been so great that it would have killed them. And that's the teaching in the name of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, the final teaching of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan goes like this. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba am Rabbi Yochanan mai dichtiv. What is it that's written? And this is a verse in Devarim chapter 9. Va'alehem, and upon them, that is upon the luchot, the tablets, kichol hadvarim, were like all of the words, asher diber Hashem imachem bahar, that Hashem had spoken with you on the mountain. So what it makes it sound like, according to the pshat, is that whatever Hashem told Moshe on the mountain, he wrote down on the tablets. However, the rabbis are going to darshan what kol hadvarim, what does it mean, all of the words, and why does it have to specify all of the words, and why does it have to say kichol hadvarim, like all of the words? So there's a famous teaching Milamed, it comes to teach, Sheher Ehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the abbreviation, Hey Kuf Bet Hey, Sheher Ehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Holy One, blessed be He, showed him, to Lemoshe, to Moshe, Dikduke Torah, the Dikduk usually means grammar, but it means fine detail. So in this case, we'll say the fine details of the Torah, the Dikduke Sofrim, and the fine details of the scribes, Umasha Sofrim Atidim Lechadesh, and what the scribes in the future would come to uncover, would come to explain as new teachings. So there are three things here that are mentioned that Hashem told him, in addition to everything that was said in the mountain. Hashem taught him three things. One is Dikduke Torah, the fine details of the Torah. So Rashi says that that is how to do drushas. So he says, ribuyin. So we saw, for instance, as an example, that a word like Shema, hear, O Israel. So we learn a ribuy from that Shema. It's an including word. That it means Shema b'chol lashon asher ata shomea, that you can say Shema in any language that you understand, because that's a ribuy. Etin v'gamin. Anytime it says the word et, you can darshan it. V'gamin. Every time it says the word gam, you can darshan it. Mi'utin. Words that take away, like ach sameach. Achin v'rakin. Anytime the word says ach or rak. All of these are rabbinic methodologies for how to explain the Torah, and they are all very fine distinctions. They're things that are not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. So that's what Rashi says are Dikduke Torah. Dikduke Sofrim, Rashi says, are what the later scribes would add on to the words of the earlier scribes. So the earlier scribes were darshaning etin and gami, and they were making all these drushas based on the fine words of the Torah, and the later sofrim were expanding on the work of the earlier ones. And then the third thing is what the later scribes were later to be mechadesh. They uncovered new material. So even things that did not yet exist at the time when the Torah was given were revealed to Moshe at this time. Umayniyu, and what are these things that they would later add on? Mikra Megillah, the writing of the Megillah, or the reading of the Megillah. So the reading of the Megillah was not part of the Torah at the time the Torah was given, because it's a historical record of something that hadn't happened yet. But according to this teaching, Hashem showed Moshe ahead of time that there would be such a thing as a Purim and the reading of the Megillah that would in the future be established. Now, this could be a prophetic teaching. Maybe Hashem revealed to Moshe in a prophetic vision that Purim would happen. Or it could be that he was explaining to Moshe that in the future, which we know from the way Moshe describes it in the Torah, that in the future anti-Semites would try to wipe out the Jewish people and Hashem would save them, and that they would remember those days in which they were saved by giving thanks and praise to Hashem. In any case, that brings us all the way up to the Mishnah, and we will stop there, short recording today, and continue on with the new Mishnah in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.